The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. They have got 0% financing on all 2025s right now. 0% financing, no money down, no payments till next year. It's unbelievable. Many other great lease offers. BillCurryFord.com. Family owned since 1960. They're a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. We'll be talking a lot more about Bill Curry Ford throughout the podcast. And of course, this is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. He's the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the water damage whisperer. All right, Lee, no Ira here today. We heard our big intro, but no Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. He's in Cleveland just because he lost his pick for the first time. He picked the Bucks to beat the Patriots. He failed, and he ran off to Cleveland to pout, and we'll get him in by phone. Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is 8-1 now on his picks, so he finally lost. Lee closed ground on him, is now 7-2, and I'm the fool now at 6-3, so that's how we're going with our picks. Now, Ira will join us with his pick this week. It's no Ira for most of the podcast, but he is going to be checking in by phone. But no Ira here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I guess we have to apologize.
Poor Ira. He has to run to Ohio because he got a pick wrong.
Are you ready for this, Lee? Are we up for this podcast?
Why not? I'm always up for a challenge. How about you?
Is it a challenge? It might be easier without Ira. I don't know. He does some quirky stuff here, as we heard.
You mean we won't get any more Cosmo stories or stories about how he's going to drive across the state and his brother-in-law's the chef?
Correct. But we'll get plenty of stories from his visit to his son in Cleveland. We're really glad that Ira gets that family time.
No more Bruce Springsteen stories.
Yeah. And all the other things he tells us off the air.
Movies nobody goes to.
But the Sage, we'll be back. And I'm glad he got to go up there, even though the weather didn't exactly cooperate with him. So we got plenty to hit on, Lee. As we heard everything about Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com, and we got to tell everybody Florida's Elite Restoration, that's who you call first 24/7. They are going to answer your call. They'll respond to you. They are always there for you. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. They're there online as well, of course. If you have a disaster at your property, business property, home, flood, water damage, fire damage, mold, you need a licensed mold remediation specialist. You don't need a handyman who says, oh, just throw some bleach on it and wait a couple of weeks. No, doesn't work that way. You have to attack these things right away in your home, because when you have a problem, if you don't attack it, you've basically decided insurance won't cover it, because insurance says if you find a serious problem, you've got to attack it right away. You need a restoration company. That's Florida's Elite Restoration. They cover the whole Tampa Bay area and beyond, across the state. Owner Josh Martin, big Bucks fan, family-owned business. He's got all the top technology with his team. The crew will come out, give you a free inspection. And if you tell them you heard about them on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, you will get $500 back if you need their services after the free inspection. Couldn't make it any easier. They've got 5-star Google reviews across the board, FloridasElitereStoration.com. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here as we head toward Sunday's big game. And it really is a big game at this point, Lee, against Buffalo. Both teams 6-3, both teams reeling. But we're still a little bit reeling from last week. And I want to get into some of what we saw on the field and what the honest fallout or feedback is on that. But lots to break down. Things happening at One Buck Place. Stick with us, buckle in, and we're talking all Bucks. But Lee, you watched the game, you're at the game, we've studied the game, you've heard feedback from players, you've been at One Buck Place this week. What about those big plays? We saw the two run busts, right? Which, you look at the film, it's clear that on the first one, which was sort of right up the gut, Roberts, the rookie defensive tackle, he got blown up, and which took him out of his gap, couldn't hold it. And then you've got Anthony Nelson, who tried to sneak around and make a play and got out of his gap. And Tyke Smith seemed to be held on the play, couldn't get in there into the hole, and off to the races went Henderson. And then on the next play at the end of the game there, that they're basically, the Patriots are kind of almost running out the clock.
Yeah.
They're running a sweep to the left. You know, they're not expecting to bust that thing by any means. And Antoine Winfield, skewered by Dave Moore, the Buccaneers radio network analyst, the decade-plus tight end for the Bucs, and Rondé Barber torched Antoine Winfield on his show, saying that you can't give up the outside. It was obvious what your responsibility was, and all you had to do was be there, and it would have been redirected inside for a 1 or 2 yard gain, and you killed the Bucks' chances to have a miracle comeback. So those two big plays, we saw Benjamin Morrison get burned, and you wrote earlier this week, this turned out to be a record, a tied an NFL record for 50-plus yard explosive plays. So where do you stand on those?
Well, that's atrocious. The first time this century, we're 25 years into the 21st century, and that's atrocious to hear that, especially when you got a defensive head coach. That's telling me guys have given up, or guys aren't tuned in. Guys aren't locked in mentally. And for Baker Mayfield, generally teams want to keep that quiet. When a quarterback unloads on a team in a locker room, generally they want to keep it quiet. And Mayfield came out and said it, and Bowles like basically saying, good job, Baker. And so it was like, and I heard something 2 weeks ago, and I buried it, and I deleted the recording. One reason I didn't write it up was the guy was generous and gave me a lot of time with this interview. He's a nice guy. He started to say something about locker room issues, then he stopped himself. He was like, well, beyond that, you know, he changed the subject on me.
Are you talking about a player?
A player in a locker room. And he said a locker room issue or issues, and he quickly changed the subject, and he basically like, uh-oh, I said too much. Please don't write that without saying
it. I got you. Before the Patriots game.
Yes, before the Patriots game.
And, you know, that happens as reporters in the locker rooms. We hear things like that sometimes. Mm-hmm. You have to make a judgment call. And especially in your situation here, obviously if you followed up with for more information, he already shut it down.
Yeah, he shut me down. Yeah.
It's not like you were going to get more, but we'll call it a mini red flag. Those things pop up from time to time on every team.
Sure, you have 53 guys, you have 53 personalities, you never know. It was very vague, and he shut up, he clammed up, and I said, I don't want to burn a good guy. He talks to me a lot, and have, you know, a good source of information shut down. But now I'm like, dang it, I wish I still had that recording so I can go back and listen and try to figure out who he was talking about. It's just weird to me. There's something weird going on. And of all people, Antoine Winfield's getting called out. That's a guy you figure was, you know, one of the guys, you know, one of the pillars of the organization. That's not the first time I've heard whispers. This is a little bit more on whispers with Dave Moore and Rondé Barber. I've heard whispers in the past, but I'm like, I ignored them because like, I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want, like, yeah, no, you
I mean,
can't.
I mean, ultimately they're mental errors on the field, and we can never say with any certainty whether it was just a guy screwed up, guy was playing too hard to make a play, or a guy's not locked in the way he needs to be in the position that he needs to be in. Now, Mayfield exploded to it, not really, but he, you know, said what he said publicly. And what I thought was a little interesting, and I don't know if fans don't have the answer. I don't really have the answer. Ex-players say that, oh, yeah, all the players heard what Mayfield had to say at the podium in his news conference. But do they? Does really every player go and listen to what Mayfield said?
No, I don't believe that.
At a news conference? No. So it's probably stuff he said in the locker room versus that. We don't know what that is. But what I did find really funny this week, and I wrote it up on JoeBucksFan.com, Mayfield, I was listening to he does a very quick interview on the Buccaneers radio network, which can be heard on 98 Rock.
After the game?
After the game.
Before he leaves.
He does a locker room interview with TJ Reeves. Yeah. And it's usually short, but it's separate from his news conference, just a one-on-one. And Mayfield unleashed a bunch of words we can't say on the radio.
Oh, Mayfield. I thought you were talking about Winfield. I'm sorry, Mayfield. No.
Now, when I was listening via the live stream, they didn't show up. I guess on whatever 7-second delay it's on or something, or it got bleeped out or, you know, dumped, as they say in the radio business. Uh-huh. Now, okay, TJ Reeves, as a host, he apologized for the expletives.
Wow.
I guess he didn't know
they were coming.
That not everybody heard it. And whatever was going on, okay. Then the Buccaneers, they upload their post-game locker room shows, or, you know, little cuts of interviews and different things. They upload their official audio to SiriusXM on the Buccaneers channel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, not a lot of people listen to the Buccaneers channel on SiriusXM. There's not a ton of content. And It's on like channel 819 or something like that.
It's nothing original. It's all, coaches shows.
Exactly. Yeah. You want to keep listening to WDAE. You don't want to be listening there because there's nothing new there. Mm-hmm. However, whoever uploaded the audio to SiriusXM uploaded the raw audio.
Awesome.
So Baker's F-bombs and his other stuff are on there, and I've got it. You can check that out at joebucksfan.com. It was a lot of fun, but it did speak to the emotion of the moment of not what struck me is that it wasn't just like, oh, we lost the game. It was guys are screwing up left and right, and this is out of control. Because I don't think Baker Mayfield would ever react like that.
You took the words out of my mouth.
If it was just one guy or two guys, but a lot of guys.
Well, Mayfield comes across as he's very much a team guy, and he would never put a teammate in a bad light. So it had to be something, I think, major for him to unload on his teammates like that.
Yeah, and not just major, because if it was one guy, even
you pull him aside, one guy.
No, even if he didn't name the guy, everybody would know who it was. If it was just one guy screwed up twice and Mayfield went off, everybody would know, oh, he must have been talking about this guy because that guy made the only two big mistakes in the game. But the way he handled it, I think, lets you know that it was a huge team-wide situation because of he was willing to do it. And nobody got singled out because you could start, put your hand out and start counting with your fingers, guys who screwed up in this game on both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Mayfield was talking more about the offense. However, and especially the way it ended with a busted play, really what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you the whole Buccaneers offense was looking at the defense, watching to see if they'd get back on the field. And they saw Henderson break that long run with Winfield screwing up, and they know football. They know that, oh man, how did we not contain, had a little sweep to close the clock out, turn into a 70 yard run or whatever it was. So, we'll see if it works. So you wrote something about that this week. We'll see if this, explosion by Mayfield works.
And it's also interesting to me that Bowles didn't try to keep this under wraps. Like, Bowles has been asked about it a couple times. He's like, yeah, we encourage our guys. Yeah, he was basically saying, good job, Baker. So I just thought that was very interesting, that if Baker was out of line, Bowles wouldn't be talking about it. He's just like, well, things happen, next.
Now, what makes it extra interesting is, so Baker's line was killer instinct. That was the quote, that they were lacking that. Now, that's the exact line Todd Bowles used at the owners' meetings in, I think it was April 1st or March 31st. He sat around that round table with me and Ira Kaufman and some others, and he said, we're lacking, we need to work on our killer instinct. Now, maybe two questions later, I asked Bowles at that table, I said, hey, killer instinct, can you talk more about this? Is this something you can coach into your team? Bowles said, no, I can't coach killer instinct, but my players can step up and my leaders can have that killer instinct, but bring others along with them. And it has to come from the team. It has to come from within. Not everything can come from a coach. And here we are 7 months later, Baker Mayfield's talking about killer instinct and that his team.
This is touching upon a much bigger issue. And I've thought this before, and a guy on Twitter, tweeted us, Steve, and he asked, Light's philosophy of, getting more Lavonte Davids. And Lavonte David's a pretty laid-back dude, easygoing guy. Light wants good dudes. Does he have too many good dudes? Don't you need some a-holes? Don't you need dogs? Don't you need a couple guys that, street dudes that just don't give a spit and will go out there and, set an example of just being a badass?
It's a great question, right? I think it's something that Bucks fans think when the team loses. They think, oh man, we just don't have enough nasty on this team. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough Quan Alexander.
Glass eaters.
And just guys who play with their hair on fire. Like Quan Alexander was that guy. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean he made every perfect play, but he's out there for blood all the time. And the Bucks have had plenty of guys like that. I guess it's possible that they don't have, when you say street dudes and whatever, I mean, you still got to play within your scheme and play football.
Sure.
But it certainly is a fair question to say, are the Bucks a little too nice? I think that's fair to ask.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I think that's a good question. And, Winfield doesn't come across. Here's a guy, and I'm not knocking him. Oh, well, Steve, we all remember Byron Kiefer, one of the Bucks head honchos, like a right-hand man of Jason Light. He's in the Bucks personnel department. It was last year, right before the draft, he was quite literally pounding the table for the Bucks to draft Tyke Smith because he had a gnarly attitude on the field. I mean, Kiefer, of all these scouting videos and pre-draft videos we've seen, that's the only guy I saw that, like, physically pounding the table and hollering, you want this MF-er on your team because of his attitude. And he does have kind of that attitude. I'm not knocking him. I love Tyke Smith. Really nice guy, really polite guy. But when he gets on the field, he's a beast.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Super relentless player. Just happens to be from the city of Philadelphia. Maybe that's part of it. But it is a fair thing to explore. But, you know, you can't just say that, you know, without really diving into it. We are less than 24 hours from kickoff up in Buffalo. Buccaneers 6-3, Bills 6-3. A lot on the line. We certainly don't want the Bucs to go lose three out of the four games, which would be just ugly for a team with high expectations like we got right now. And we're presented by Bill Curry Ford. Since 1960, Bill Curry Ford has been serving the Tampa community as the premier family-owned dealership, and family-owned makes a difference. Curry is the family name. 65 years. Don't worry. Drive Curry. Get to their website right now, BillCurryFord.com. They've got so many, almost a dozen, Lee, at least. Zero due at signing, lease offers, everything from the Bronco Big Ben to the Mustang Mach-E, you name it, trucks, they've got it. The Joe Bucks fan discount is always in effect. You just simply ask Bill Curry Ford, General Manager Sean Sullivan, for that. You can find him on their website, BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. Get there today. They're open Sunday for express service. They've got mobile service at your home where they can do all kinds of things from recalls to oil changes, tire changes. BillCurryFord.com. Get there today. And Lee, going back to Sunday, you know, it's unfortunate because really that was a tight game, winnable and tight. It's not getting treated in that respect from the national media. They've pounced on the Mike Vrabel, love fest, and oh, the Patriots.
Next Vince Lombardi. And,
yeah. Drake May is the greatest quarterback to come up.
He might be. That's not hyperbole. He really looks like a good quarterback.
Well, he's got a lot to prove.
He's a young kid, but I mean, so far, it looks like a dynamite pick.
For sure. But still, tons to prove. And, you know, the Bucks come out of that game, and we learned a lot about the Bucks, I think, in that game. You know, we talked in the last segment about the defensive screw-ups and some of the mentality issues Baker Mayfield brought up. But let's think about this. New England went into that game number one run defense in the NFL. The Bucks ran the ball. They ran the ball consistently.
Sean Tucker specifically.
And they ran the ball effectively. Rashad White, look, he averaged, I think it was 3.8 yards a carry in that game. But there are at least two runs where he was hit behind the line of scrimmage and made 3 or 4 yards out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they overall were effective, whereas other teams weren't. Tucker became the first guy to run for more than 50 yards, a non-quarterback.
I forgot about that. You're right. Yeah. I wrote about four stories about that, and I didn't do the math. Like, duh.
Yeah. It's first running back to do that. I actually mentioned it in one of the stories. Didn't go crazy with it because it was, you know, it wasn't like he tore up the NFL, but he got 53 or 54 yards, and that was a first for running backs against the Patriots. They reestablished the run game. Gedeki got back on the field, and you know what? He went the distance.
Have been the best offensive lineman out there.
He looked in football shape, and the film looked pretty good. There's a lot of high hopes for him getting better because Brian Pacucci, who officially is the offensive line coach, he was the assistant offensive line coach last year, and the head offensive line coach, Kevin Carberry, is still there. He was on the Buccaneers radio network talking about how Gedeki was uncertain on his foot going into the game. He wasn't sure that he could handle a bull rush and why that didn't happen in practice and say, hey, you know, Elijah Simmons, Vita Vea, give him three of your best rushes in a row and we'll test his foot. That's a whole nother question. But the coach, Pacucci, was saying Gedeki wasn't sure he could anchor properly, and he got through it and he built confidence through the game and he played well. And so, I mean, Gedeki should be ready to chew people up and spit them out up in Buffalo. He's probably going to love that cold weather, take him back to his Wisconsin days. And so that was a huge positive. And Tez Johnson, he continues to be the guy. If the play breaks down, man, Tez Johnson's getting open. And he's catching balls in tough situations. We've talked about, oh, Mayfield's hurt. And, oh, he's not running, moving too well. Well, go look at that last touchdown by Tez Johnson. Mayfield's thrown on the run. Sure looked good for the end of a game. And so, you know, the Bucs are close, but some of the big mistakes are just, it's got to stop. Otherwise, you got to question a lot of things.
Yeah, you do. And Sean Tucker, that's significant. That arguably the best run defense in the league, finally someone got over on him, albeit by 3 yards or so.
Well, but and White, I guess White was effective too. So they, it was a nice one too.
And so that's a good sign going up to Buffalo, who's giving up chunks of yards on the ground. That's heartening. The offense in general, I don't know what's going on with the pass game. I get it. You got a Hall of Famer, he's down. You got a Pro Bowler, he's down. You got a rookie as a number one overall wide receiver now. That's not ideal, and still he's doing well. But still, a pet peeve of mine is on third down, you got guys running routes short of the sticks. It's one thing to do that if you got a lousy defense. You're going up against a lousy defense. I'm not a huge Vrabel fan, but Vrabel is very good about fundamentals. They tackle well. They're just a good, solid defense fundamentally. If you got guys running routes short of the sticks, that tells me you're expecting your receivers to be breaking tackles. That doesn't happen against the Vrabel defense too often. That's the kind of crap I saw with Greg Schiano and Mike Glennon. That Schiano was so scared that Glenn was going to throw a pick that he would have him throw 3 and 4 and 5 yard passes. Meanwhile, they're getting tackled well short of the sticks and you're punting. That drives me nuts. If you don't trust your receivers, then get them off the field. If you don't trust your receivers to run routes longer than 7 yards or 8 yards or 10 yards, then get them the hell off the field.
Greg Schiano, you know, who was the Bucs coach for newer fans who blocked out and never experienced that era even. He was the head coach, exactly. Head coach 2012 and 2013. And he was a defensive-minded guy, and he had a very, very heavy hand in the offense. And heavy head and everything. And Glennon obviously was terrible, and they didn't have receivers. And, you know, throwing to guys like Tyquan Underwood and other guys.
Well, Vincent Jackson was there.
And he was obsessed, like Todd Bowles, he was obsessed with no turnovers. So, well, what do you get with that? You get a guy throwing in 2013 short of the sticks because he just wants to punt and tighten up on defense. That shouldn't be the case now, and Grizzard's not wired that way, so it was a little disconcerting to see that multiple times. It wasn't just once. Mm-hmm. It was multiple times. It's like, no, don't ask Sterling Shepard to get that much yak. He's not Rashad White, and there were other plays that just frustrating. But one big reason of the offense, Lee, and Mayfield's not playing as well as he was previously.
No, he was not.
Now, it doesn't mean he's a crappy quarterback, but he's not been on the same level. Is that injury? Was that tied to some poor pass protection? I'm not going to go into all the details because they're a little too X's and O's and boring, but the Bucs offensive line coach, Brian Pigucci, was on the radio network. He admitted, which is so rare from a coach, he admitted that Graham Barton was not pass blocking well the last two games.
He has not.
Against Detroit and against
New Orleans. He was awful.
New Orleans. And of course, you know, we saw his struggles getting blown up in goal line offense on top of that, but he talked about how and why Barton got better in pass blocking, much better against New England. Just to go back real quick on the running game, the Bucs, who had Mayfield not have a rushing attempt for the third consecutive game, it's no coincidence, they ran 21 times for 113 yards on the Patriots. That is an effective, strong 5-yard-a-carry running game. So we hope that Buffalo, like you said, gives up, quote, chunks of yards on the ground, that, you know, great things can happen on Sunday.
If they get a running game going against Buffalo, that's going to be a major help. Because football 101, arguably the best quarterback in the league, he can't do anything against your defense when he's sitting on the bench. So if they can get a running game going, chew up the clock, keep Allen on the sidelines, that's a feather in their cap, man.
Yeah, it'll be huge. And look, Buffalo doesn't have receivers. They lost their top target, Dalton Kincaid. They are going to be wanting to run the ball, too. We're probably going to see a ton of Josh Allen running, more than usual. And, of course, James Cook is an elite running back.
Yeah.
And you look at the Bucs have given up all these big plays in the running game. How could they not test that? How could they not try to go after it? Now, Gerald McCoy, biggest Bucs cheerleader in the United States, at least has the biggest platform.
Yes.
On NFL Network. He went out on Twitter and didn't name Elijah Roberts, the Buccaneers' defensive tackle, the rookie who's been getting a lot of time. But Roberts has been good on the pass rush. he has some major screw-ups in his gaps on the running. Mm. And McCoy was out on Twitter saying, hey, I'm not going to name the guy, but we keep having the same mistakes over and over again in this run defense. You know, it's got to stop. Is it going to stop? Because Roberts is going to keep playing, and but here comes Buffalo, and Cook, as a running back, changes speed so well and is so fluid. Just a big play waiting to happen every time.
Well, you said Roberts is going to be out there. Is he going to be out there? We know how much Bowles emphasizes run defense. So if Roberts is screwing that much on run defense, is he going to be out there?
That's what we're going to find out quick. Maybe not. Maybe he switches to Greg Gaines.
Or more. Simmons.
You know, Simmons, most fans don't know him. He was picked up off Arizona's practice squad. He doesn't stand out as much as he might because Vita Vea is there. Mm-hmm. But Simmons is like 6'1", 335.
Strong as an ox.
As strong as an ox. Explosive as an ox.
Well, is an ox explosive?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. Explosive as a rabbit. Strong as an ox. And he's been used sparingly on goal line, other places, and he always seems to win. Now the Bucks don't think he can play a full game and his skill set isn't there yet.
Still raw, yeah.
But you know what, man, I like that guy and unleash some havoc, and we'll see if the Bucks adjust. We'll know if Roberts snaps or cut, if they're that scared of the running attack on Sunday. Actually, I keep saying on Sunday, it's tomorrow in Buffalo. Ira Kaufman. Coming up next segment, Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. Get him on the phone, get his pick for the week and some of his thoughts as we get ready for this game, which huge, huge game. I don't care what anybody says. Yes, it's an AFC game. Yes, it's not going to factor into conference tiebreakers. Yes, it's not a game that you looked at on the schedule earlier this year and said, oh, the Bucks have to win in Buffalo if they're going to go anywhere. But you know what? The team started off 6-2. They're slipping. What a huge lift. What a vote of confidence it would be for every Bucks fan, every Bucks player, if they could win in Buffalo, get a little breathing room, and say, you know what, we can compete with the big guys. They beat Seattle, which may be the number one seed in the NFC this year, but their losses have come to winning top quality teams. You know,
playoff teams.
Let's get another one. And so I find it to be a big game. We have a crisis reaction here in Tampa every time the Bucks lose. And things happen. But, you know, up in Buffalo, they're doing the same thing. These guys lost to the Dolphins in Miami. And they got blown out. They got hurt. They lost their top target. Dalton Kincaid blows his hamstring, walks off. They lost other guys. And they were trying to trade at the deadline, allegedly, for Jalen Waddle. The Dolphins, whatever, they couldn't work out a deal. And maybe it was because it was in division or something. But they needed receiving help. They signed Mecole Hardman off the street. Nobody wanted him. That was this week. And they've got basically no passing game, no dangerous passing game right now, which is a good thing for the Bucks. Keon Coleman, a guy that you know, Florida State fans know well, second-round pick last year. He's been a bust.
Yep. And almost Chris Boswell-like.
Yeah, Khalil Shaker. I think he was a fifth-round pick years ago. That's their top guy. And he's not on your fantasy team by any stretch. So, you know, the Bucks are walking into a situation where they can win if they've got their minds right. What do you think of Buffalo as an opponent here?
Well, obviously, they're dangerous. I mean, everybody and their brother thought they may be the AFC representative in the Super Bowl. You got Josh Allen. You got Cook. You're dangerous. You're dangerous. I just think the best way, and I'm leaning Bucks winning this game because they got the run game going, and Buffalo stinks at the run. And it's, again, football 101, like I said earlier, the best way to defend a good quarterback is for him to sit on the side on a bench, him to stand on the sidelines, him to be off the field. And if the Bucs can get the running game going, Josh Allen's going to be off the field. He cannot hurt you on the sidelines. So I'm starting to lean Bucs in a very close game because of that running game.
I'm the same way, only because I think that the Bucks defense, which has had really great moments in the past
moments,
the great halves.
Yeah.
I think that they'll bounce back well. I think fundamentally that they're going to be okay.
Mayfield shook them up, you think? Mayfield's words got them going?
Well, you know, Lavonnie David said something very interesting on the Richard Sherman podcast this 2 weeks ago during the bye week. He said that it's always our fault. That was his
quote. Of course.
It's always the defense's fault. Bowles always blames the defense. He puts more on the defense than the offense. And I have no doubt that Bowles is hammering these guys this week on some of those little details we talked about. Those two big runs are just poor fundamental play. And the Benjamin Morrison question, I'll throw this out there, because that's another thing buzzing fans up, is they're putting in Morrison for two series a game, and he's played a little bit on the field, at least in this last game. He played a little bit on the field, the rookie cornerback, with McCollum and Dean. He was playing a little bit in the middle, and he got lost. He looked lost out there. But
and Dean on the field as well?
Yes. Okay. He's been coming in for Dean, though, for at least a couple of series.
Oh, yeah.
And Dean's been their best cornerback. Zion McCollum got roasted in this game as well.
Yes.
He doesn't have a pick all year. He doesn't look like a guy I would have signed in advance. They didn't make him earn it, and he hasn't been earning it this year. So the Bucs are rotating, and it looked like the Patriots saw, okay, and Rondé Barber mentioned this on his show this week, that it looked like the Patriots, when Morrison came in, they targeted him on that crossing route. They got exactly what they wanted, and he made the play. And Barber said, he was looking at the bench, and could tell that it had the reaction of, ooh, this is the play we were working on all week, and it worked. He said there's a different reaction from the bench like that. You know what? He got burned, and the question is, should Morrison be replacing Dean just to get him some work to learn the position?
I've never asked Bowles this, but I get the scent. I get the whiff that the Bucs came to the conclusion the fewer snaps Jamel Dean takes, the less chances he gets hurt. So we could limit his snaps, at the same time get Morrison experience. Now, the flip side is, why the hell would you ever want to pull your best cornerback off the field? I'm in that camp. So I'm giving the Bucs the benefit of the doubt that they figured out with their sports science and all that stuff that, hey, if Dean plays over X amount of snaps, he gets hurt. So we're going to keep him on a pitch count. That's my guess. And it's hurting them.
Yeah,
and
it's an interesting guess, because I've thought of it that way, but I've also thought the other way, which is that the Bucs felt, okay, look, there's a 90-something percent chance Dean's going to get hurt this year, so we can decide.
We'll get Morrison snaps,
get him experience, so when this inevitability happens, he's going to get on the field and be okay. And we'll pay the price, you know, to have him ready late in the season versus, okay, if he plays like a rookie in week 6, 8, 12, whatever, we'll deal with it. It could be part of what you're talking about, too. But at the end of the day, it's football, and Bowles doesn't like to take guys off the field, no matter what the score is, whatever. Now you're taking your best corner out in a critical game against an excellent team, and they paid the price.
I'm going to defend Morrison a little bit. Sean Sullivan, our friend, Bill Curry Ford, he said, Chris Sims said the same thing I'm saying. You look at the end zone replay of the play we're talking about, Morris. The 50-yard line replay looks bad. The end zone replay, I still swear, there was a small window. That if May throws that short at all, it's a pick six. And apparently Chris Sims said the same thing. Nick Sims is like saying, I'm not going to kill Morrison here. If you look at the end zone angle, the window was much smaller than the 50-yard line. It looked bad. It looked bad.
To me, I've looked at all the angles with the film. I am going to agree a little bit with Rondé Barber on that play. And then we're talking about the crossing route that the guy took to the house. And I forgot who scored that for the Patriots. He was open early on the crossing route. He beat Morrison right away. Mm-hmm. And then it was as if the Patriots had the play planned. And May was like, oh, no, I'm not going to hit him when he's open. I'm going to wait, because I think we can bust one if we wait on this late. And then you look at and you see Morrison get beat.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent throw. He's still beat.
Excellent throw.
He's still beaten again. And then you see Morrison's arms flailing. He couldn't even recover to run back and chase. So I don't know. Maybe they thought he'd overrun it. But either way, the Bucs have to decide at some point, is Morrison going to keep rotating with Dean? Or, now Todd Bowles said weeks ago, eventually Morrison will rotate a little bit in with McCollum because they want him to learn that side of the field too. We'll see if that really happens.
Real quick on Morrison. It was disappointing because I thought he made headway a little bit against Detroit, but a lot against New Orleans. I thought he was taking steps. So hopefully this is just a blurb or a blip on the screen. Right now, it may change in 2 months. But as of the second week of November, given those guys an early payment, Luke Goedeke, he's been hurt, and McCollum, who's not played well, haven't been good investments. Now, Goedeke is a good offensive lineman. Don't get me wrong. But obviously, you're going to give a guy big money. You want him on the field. And days after he got his contract, he gets hurt. And he misses how many games? 5 games? 6 games?
Well, that was number 9, and he tapped out in week 2. So
yep.
That's
7.
That's 6 games that he actually fully missed, and most of another one. But the Geta key, I'm fine with paying in advance. Now, the key is that these guys were entering their contract year, but
sure,
the Bucks decided to pay them before. Mm-hmm. So
a little bit of a gamble.
Geta key, I would gamble on because he's played so well that he would be in super high demand, and he's just been very consistent. Whereas McCollum, I don't think has been as consistent coming into the season. But they tabbed him as he's our number one guy. And we're going to give him number one cornerback money. Yet he never really proved that he's a top number one in the NFL.
And probably their number one cornerback, if you're not counting Dean, is Jacob Parrish.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. But McCollum is on this long-term deal. They paid him. And you know, maybe they overpaid him a little bit. We'll see what it looks like.
Maybe he gets moved back to slot like he was a couple years ago.
Oh, I don't think so. I think as long as Bowles is here, they love the guy. They love his athleticism. They feel they can keep working with him, and they're paying him. I don't think they're going to make him a $16 million slot corner. And I'm not sure he'd be that great in that job. Lee, the Bills, you look at their schedule. Yes, they beat Kansas City, and everybody watched that game, and they rolled the Panthers the week before. But we saw them get upset to the Dolphins. They've got injuries. Before that, they got rolled by the Falcons, and the Patriots beat them. And, you know, they started off 4-0, and now they're 6-3. So they're not playing the best football. Do you see this game as critical for the Bucs to win? Or if we lose this, we lose against the Rams, we're 6-5, we're still in good shape to get a little healthier, have an 11-win season, and that's what we expected.
Losing to the Patriots made this game critical. You know, we knew this is going to be a tough part of the schedule. We knew that. If they go 0-3, that's bad news. Buffalo is a wounded animal. I'm not saying they're rotten, not saying they're not dangerous, but they're a wounded animal. Sean McVay almost always lights up a Bulls defense.
And they've been lighting up everybody.
Then you throw in the fact that Bucks can't play in primetime. That's a primetime game in Los Angeles. That looks like, to me, a blowout. A blowout for the Rams. So this game becomes critical thanks to choking against the Patriots.
The great Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. He's up at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We'll get his take on the state of the Bucs and this game coming up tomorrow in Buffalo. We're presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships, BillCurryFord.com, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. All the 2025 new vehicles, 0% financing is available, zero money down, and zero payments until next year on all of them. Check them out, BillCurryFord.com. It's an incredible time to buy a vehicle, and you can get the JoeBucksFan.com discount if you ask GM Sean Sullivan for it at Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. All right, let's welcome in the sage of Tampa Bay sports himself, the custodian of Canton, as we call him, because he's Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. Ira is actually on location, went to the Pro Football Hall of Fame this week to take care of a little business, do a little look around as well, talk to some folks. Ira, though, of course, we're here to talk Bucks Bills, but you know what? Are the Bucks busts there in Canton? Are they dusty? Are you taking cleaning up over there? How did it go?
The way they put Brooks and Sapp in the same room, across from each other. I think Brooks is on a little higher level, and he's looking down on Sapp's bust. It was a lot of fun. I mean, it's a great trip. It wasn't very crowded. You know, the weather's 40 degrees, you know, on a Thursday. But I enjoyed it and spent a lot of time with the President Hall. We talked about the protocols and what's going on with the voting. And, of course, we're a couple of weeks away from knowing whether Simeon Rice makes the list of semifinalists. And then there would be one more cut to the finalists, and then I get to do my thing in front of the group. So it's an exciting time. I've had a good time seeing our son up here. Steve, I needed a tonic because last weekend was rough for me. Bucks lost. I picked the Bucks. My 8-0 record is now in shreds. Steve, my fantasy team is dismal. Yours is good. So I'm hoping to bounce back this weekend.
Well, Sage, of course, the Bucks are hoping to bounce back in Buffalo. And before we get your pick, because that's, we got to get your pick, and we appreciate you being here on your non-vacation in frigid Cleveland. But Ira, looking back, given the big plays, given the feedback you've heard from the Bucks locker room this week, given Todd Bowles embracing Baker Mayfield, blasting his teammates, and the collective attitude that they didn't have in this case, what are your thoughts looking back on that?
I think every Buck fan should be slightly concerned right now. Look, the record tells you they're in good shape. The division tells you they're in good shape. I'm certainly not suggesting they're not going to win this division again. But you've made it a strong point all year, Steve, that winning the division and flaming out in the playoffs, that's not acceptable anymore. This roster's too good. I think these injuries have just gotten to them, Steve. I really do. Whether it's Kalijah Kancey, you know how I feel about the Bucky Irving injury, you know, the Mike Evans, the Godwin. I just think it's accumulating. And the Mayfield comments, I think were, I don't know, I think maybe a little off-putting. Some of the players, we'll see. I know that Bowles says, you know, it was accepted very well in the manner that it was given. It's easy to say that, but, you know, Mayfield called out his teammates. Maybe they deserved it, Steve, because it was a bland performance on Sunday. You saw New England, they're not that good. You know, they struggled to win against a lousy team Thursday night. They're not that good, and they didn't play great against the Bucs and still beat them on the road. So there's reason for concern because this – Steve, it's very easily could turn into four losses in a five-game stretch for the Bucks, and leave them at 6-5. And you know, maybe it's not that a given that they sweep Carolina, Steve. Maybe that's not a given. Maybe they go 1-1 against Carolina. We'll see. But it appears that there's a good chance this could be another mid-season lull for Todd Bowles. We didn't think that was going to happen this year. It looks like it could happen.
Ira, that brings us right to Sunday. Right to that Buffalo game. Both teams 6-3. Now, Buffalo's got a mess of injuries as well. They ran out this week and signed Mecole Hardman, who was sitting on the street for a couple of months, the ex-Chiefs receiver. They're desperate. Lee and I both picked the Bucs to win this game. I just think the Bucs are a flat-out better team than Buffalo, which is really struggling. And Lee likes the thought or the concept of the Bucs bouncing back here and Bowles avoiding that swoon, which, of course, would be a nightmare to see it for the third consecutive year. Really, the fourth consecutive year, if you want to look at really scrutinize it. Where do you stand on this game? What's your pick?
Steve, I kind of look at this game the way I looked at the game at Detroit. I think the Lions were coming off a loss, Steve. And now Buffalo's coming off a loss, a really bad loss to a Miami team that's going nowhere that I thought had packed in the season. And the Bills weren't competitive in the game. You got to think McDermott read them the Riot Act. I don't like the weather, Steve. Now, it doesn't look like it's going to snow and maybe 25% chance of rain. But, you know, the wind, Steve, it's going to be 15 to 20 miles an hour, steady. Might be swirling. What does that do? Well, it puts the premium on the running game. Buffalo's got James Cook, and nobody knows more about Cook than you do because he's one of the stars of your fantasy team. And he's a hell of a player. So what I'm saying is the conditions seem to, you know, lend credence to go heavy on the run game, and the Buck run game, you know, it was okay against New England. Okay. But Cook's a force. He's not Jonathan Taylor, but he's really good. And we just saw what Trevion Henderson did to the Buck rush defense, which, you know, it hasn't been that great the last 2, 3, 4 weeks, the Buck rush defense. I think Cook's going to take advantage of that. I think it's going to be a long day for the visitors, Steve, a long day. I got the Bills winning this game, you know, 27-16. I think the Bucs will score a cheap touchdown at the end. I don't like the matchup. I didn't like the Detroit matchup. Primetime, this game's not in primetime. I don't think the Bills are going to be flat 2 weeks in a row. And, you know, as soon as the Bucs get, you know, this is a classic example, Steve, of the 2025 Bucs season, the way it has gone. They get Gedeky back. That's a big plus. He played pretty well against New England. And then they lose Bredesen. And then, you know, they got a sub guard on the other side. So now you might be playing with two backup guards. Look, Buffalo's defense isn't great, Steve. Their rush defense is lousy. So I expect the Bucs to run about 30 times this week. But I'm not sure they got the guys up front. Barton's struggling. Wirfs isn't playing up to Wirfs' standards. I don't think the Bucs can run the ball well enough. And then the winds are going to take care of some of Mayfield's throws. I got Buffalo winning this game, Steve. Hope I'm wrong, but I got the Bills.
Somber forecast for Ira Kaufman right there. Hey, Ira, bottom line, I was very impressed with the Bucs' run game last week. 21 carries, 112 yards, and no Baker Mayfield with a rushing attempt against a great run defense. I think they might be able to pull some magic out here with the run game and just enough to get it done, but it is a very tough spot. I mean, between a team that's struggling and those conditions and the crowd, no one would be surprised if you're right. You got a final thought for the good folks at Tampa Bay? I'll let you take the show out, and we'll be back.
A shout out to Frontier Airlines, Steve. Got us up here on time, and we're coming back later today. And for anybody who hasn't been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you got to go. Just the bus gallery is breathtaking, the way they have it laid out. And I was looking at a lot of the bus, Steve, you know, and I started like in, I think 1963 is the first year, and it goes all the way up to 25. And I was just going through bus by bus, and, you know, the guy does an incredible job. I was like looking to see, you know, hey, how well did it capture the look of the guy? And, you know, you look at guys like Brooks and Sapp and the sculptor, I think his name is Buswell. The guy does a fantastic job. So anyway, I'm bullish on the Pro Football Hall of Fame for so many reasons. If you're ever up here or in the vicinity, drop in. It's more than worth your while.
All right, Ira, in a few years, you can retire to Cleveland. We'll get rid of you from the Tampa Bay area.
They might name a men's room after me up here at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. At least they promised it.
All right, we'll see you next week, Bucks fans. Go Bucks! All right, Lee, you heard Ira's pick. You've heard Ira's pick. What's your pick for this game?
Given the fact the Bucks ran so well against the Patriots, and if you look what the Patriots did prior to playing the Bucks, they just shut people down on offense, on the ground specifically. The Bucks ran well against the Patriots. They got the ground game going. Buffalo, their ground game, their run defense stinks. And so I think the Bucks are going to have a good ground game. Because of that, Josh Allen will be on the bench quite a bit, watching the Bucks run it down their throat. I think it's going to be a close game. I think the Bucks pull out an upset, 23-21.
I'm going with the Bucks too. I think they're the better team. That's really what it comes down to. I've seen Buffalo play a few times this year. Yes, it's Buffalo. Yes, it's Josh Allen. A lot of times these games come down to the quarterback. But given the injuries, given how both teams have played this year and where they are right now, yeah, I think the Bucs are the better team, and I think they'll be more on point this week. And the Bucs, I don't like it, but it's fact. The Bucs play better on the road with Mayfield and with Todd Bowles. So that's where we are, and they're going to there's not going to be any fans up there. Yes, I'm sure we have some listeners in Buffalo who'll be out there, but there's going to be, maybe 100 Bucks fans out there in a cauldron, and I think it'll get the Bucks focused. Well, cauldron's too hot. I guess more of an igloo situation, but that's where we are. So, look, we will see Bucks fans next week, hopefully with a 7-3 record, which would be unbelievable. Everybody would be back on the Todd Bowles bandwagon. The national media would be screaming for the Bucks, and oh, they're cruising. What a matchup in L.A. Heavyweight title fight against the Rams on Sunday Night Football. We'll see if it gets there, and we'll see everybody next week. Thanks for listening. BillCurryFord.com, FloridasElitereStoration.com. Go Bucks! All right, Ira. Look, fans want to know, what have you eaten up there in Cleveland with your family? A special meal or what?
Well, last night we went Italian. I had the veal parm, Steve. Couldn't finish it. You know, stuffed mushrooms to start. Calamari, little wine. Ran up a hefty bill, Steve. Stuck my son with a hefty bill. No, I'm just kidding. You know, that's one thing I always remember. My father used to visit us in Florida from New York, Steve. In February, we used to have him in for 3 weeks. And for 3 weeks, I never reached in my pocket, Steve. Never reached in my pocket. Every time we went out for a meal, he paid. You know, I'm paying it forward right now, Steve. That's what I'm doing with my son. That's what you do with your kids, Steve. That's a warning for you in your future years. You got to pick up the tab, Steve. You must pick up the tab. And I lived up, I fulfilled it. I fulfilled my role as the dutiful parent.
Dessert?
Dessert, cannoli. Cannoli, Steve. Can't go wrong with a cannoli.